Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
What was that? What's wrong with it?
Like seems like that's harsh. I don't know if those lyrics would play in 2017.
Oh, it is hard. When did that come out?
I'm going to make a play in 85.
Who's singing that song?
Pointer Sisters?
You're stupid like grandma? That's what they said?
It says Big Bad Wolf by the Wolf Sisters. So.
Do you know them?
No.
Let me see if I get the lyrics to Big Bad Wolf.
It's kind of
the first verse, they said, here, eat some cookies and cake. So I don't know what that means.
Alright, fun lyric.
That's the wolf. No doubt there.
Let's see. Now you've got to breathe. It's only where your feet fell. People so cool. Somebody wants you. A lover come back. I want to dance like her. Like nobody's watching. But nobody's watching. Forever meant nothing when we had nothing. Feel real. Now. Forever meant nothing when we had nothing. Even when you know. Hits you hard. Leaves slow. Comes back fast. When you can't take it, don't swallow your pain. Been around once. It'll be around again.
That's not the lyrics I just heard. I heard you're stupid like grandma.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like. Are you sure it's because I. The Plowhawk, I just read. Here it is. Big Bad Wolf, the Wolf Sisters.
That's what it says.
Hit that again because I heard some horrible lyrics. You got lousy teeth. Stupid like grandma. Should don't look like your grandma. Your hairy bird white.
This is where you say she says you're stupid like grandma.
That's what it sounds like.
All right. Don't you think I'm
stupid like grandma? That's not right. You think I'm stupid like grandma.
I mean, for the life of me, I can't. There's actually somebody posted on movieforums.com on October 31st, 2016. Does anybody have the lyrics to this song from Teen Wolf? It sounds like they're saying, your hair sure don't look like a grandma.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Your hair ain't pearly white. It's a great lyric.
You think I'm stupid like grandma. That's what they're saying. You know, the more I hear it, the more I kind of like the tune.
What came first, that or Thriller? Because obviously somebody stole something from somebody.
The beat to that. Thriller was 83? I'm not mistaken, and Teen Wolf was 85, if I'm not mistaken. But it could be a case kind of like Huey Lewis in the News with I Want a New Drug, and then Ray Parker Jr. with Ghostbusters, and I believe Huey Lewis in the News accused Ray Parker Jr. of lifting the riff from I Want a New Drug for Ghostbusters. Plow, can you pull up both those? Can we start with I Want a New Drug? Remember that? Was that 80?
I don't know the years. I just don't. I'd like to help you with the years. I just don't know them.
Because I think Ghostbusters was 84, so I guess I Want a New Drug would have to be 83? I'm going to try. I'll look.
Very similar, I believe.
Yeah, if you take a listen, Doug, you'll hear it.
83, I skipped it. This is Ghostbusters.
No, no, no. I Want a New Drug. Yeah, you can kind of hear it a little. Wow, yeah. You
sure that's not Ghostbusters?
Oh, yeah. Perfect. I called out I Want to Do Drugs, but hey, it's fine. No, it is I Want to Do Drugs.
Yeah, it says...
Are you doing a riff?
Yeah, this is saying, I Want a New Drug versus Ghostbusters mashup.
Oh, it's a mashup. I wanted to hear the one first. Okay, now we can... Wow, 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 Doug. I feel like you're tripping balls.
Yeah, wow, wow, wow. Okay, did they sue them or something?
I think Huey Lewis in the News sued Ray Parker. I think so.
Yeah, that sounded awfully similar.
Get them on. Huey Lewis in the News was just here a few weeks ago for Lufest.
Was he?
Yeah. Let's see what the word is.
He's still belting it out?
I think so. He's a big golfer.
Yeah, I wonder if he played when he was here.
Big Giants fan.
Yeah, San Francisco.
Didn't sound that much like it during that part of the song.
It was a Tuesday night at Mr. Purple.
Oh, here it comes again. Is this another tale or the same story we heard before?
It was the wrong link. I clicked on it. Okay. All right. Producers of the film Ghostbusters originally approached Huey Lewis to pen the film's theme, but he was already committed to work on another sci-fi comedy. Do you know what it was? Do you know what it was? Think about the time.
Can I have initials, please?
BTTF.
Back to the Future.
Yes!
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Okay.
And he declined.
So they just stole it.
Producers tapped Ray Parker Jr. I like that. Producers tapped Ray Parker Jr. to do the honors, apparently directing him toward a sound that could be described as Huey Lewis-esque.
Yeah, that's a problem for the lawsuit.
Lewis himself certainly thought so and filed a suit against Parker, alleging that he lifted the melody from his own song, I Want a New Drug. The verdict, so this is 84 when this starts, the verdict, the pair settled out of court in 1995, 11 years of that crap, on the condition that both parties refrain from speaking about the suit in public. All was well until Lewis unloaded about the settlement on a 2001 episode of VH1's Behind the Music. Parker sued him soon after for breaching the confidentiality agreement. Why it matters, and why do you think it matters?
Well, they don't want to be embarrassed. I would think Ray Parker Jr. doesn't want to be accused of his big hit song having been ripped off from another artist.
Though no legal precedents were set, the lawsuit's ghostly reemergence served as a strong reminder that confidentiality agreements weren't just a formality. Doug, that's Rolling Stone. Okay. Rolling Stone.
I can't imagine why else Ray Parker would be upset by it.
What a new
That's what we know him for.
What song do you like better, Ghostbusters or I Want a Drug?
Ghostbusters.
Plowhawk?
Wrong answer.
I like Huey Lewis in the News. I like the I Want a New Drug. Sounds better.
Mm.
And I'm not a big Ghostbusters fan, actually, to be honest. I like the cast. I just don't like the movie.
Okay.
I like the opening scene with Bill Murray, and he's shocking the one gentleman, and he's letting the other girl, or the girl, have correct answers every time. I enjoyed that scene. What's your favorite scene?
I don't remember that scene.
It's the opening scene, baby.
I don't remember it.
Stay Puff Marshmallow Man?
I don't know. It's been how many
Come
years?
Come on, babe. All right.
You can't make me put this thing. Oh,
that's from Doug's Big Channel.
That was not the ultimate.
And that was not in Ghostbusters.
No, I don't remember that in Ghostbusters.
Dan Aykroyd
at all.
Got Morning Wood. People don't talk about that much.
How would it come up?
Because you got Morning Wood in the movie, bro.
But you say people don't talk about that.
Yeah, enough.
Enough, okay.
I just thought it looked odd when people were covered in that alien, like, sludge or whatever.
Yeah.
It didn't look very good.
Really? No.
Not a good look.
I was never a big Dan Aykroyd fan.
Why is that?
I don't know. He just didn't do it.
He did an interview on Stern. Was it earlier this year or was it late 2016?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
And for whatever reason, throughout the interview, it was fascinating stuff. To talk about like Saturday Night Live and the New York comedy scene in the 70s and 80s and then all the movies he's been a part of, especially the role he had in Driving Miss Daisy and My Girl with Anna. Was it Klumsky or Schlumsky?
I don't know.
She's on
I don't know. I did get past that.
And then Macaulay Culkin. And spoiler alert, so turn the station. One, two, three. Macaulay Culkin was stung by bees.
Was it in that movie?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And he called himself Thomas J. And I thought that was kind of...
Okay, let's get back to Dan Aykroyd.
It was like E. Stanley Crocky. It's like your Stan, Steamer.
Okay.
But anyway, Dan Aykroyd was doing this interview, and the whole time he would say, yes, I enjoy beverage alcohol. And I'm like, I wonder if I must have misheard. And then like he talked about, he's a guy who likes to have beverage alcohol. What is he doing?
Who says beverage alcohol?
Dan Aykroyd does.
Yeah, he's a little weird for my taste.
But in order to be a comedic genius, oft times you have to be rather eccentric. Eclectic? Right. Eccentric. Eclectic?
Either.
Eccentric.
Either.
Is there a difference? Iggy, is there a difference?
Probably
eclectic?
So, yeah.
Like yes. When you were around Judy Tenuta, you probably could tell that she was a little different.
A little different. I wouldn't say eccentric.
See, but you'd say eclectic.
I would say it's weird.
Would you say eclectic?
I wouldn't say that either.
But eccentric?
No, I wouldn't say that.
She wasn't either.
She was neither. She was just weird.
Okay.
Now, Dan Aykroyd, different story. Favorite movie from him? I like Neighbors myself with Belushi was in that too.
Okay, I don't have a favorite Dan Aykroyd movie because he kind of bugs me.
Okay. He wasn't the best of all of them of that
what
era.
What about Spies Like Us?
Eh.
I won't be talked into a favorite Dan Aykroyd movie because he kind of bugs me. I don't know why, he just does.
What about Driving Miss Daisy? It's a different type of picture, more serious. I think it won Best Picture, if I'm not mistaken. You are my best friend, Hulk. Oh, God. Is there a dry... It's like the end of Rudy. Is there a dry eye in the house?
Yeah, well, I wasn't crying.
Wow, wow, wow.
With boredom, yeah.
Oh, my. 93? 90? 89? Jessica Tandy.
I saw a little of it on cable one night. I said, you know what? I don't think so. There's Dan Aykroyd. He gives me the creeps a little bit. I think I'll move along.
Spies Like Us. Pretty good.
Yeah, okay. I will not be talked into a favorite Dan Aykroyd movie.
Doug, I saw Dan Aykroyd passed out on a futon at Sky Bar in L.A. In 2001. That's from Dave Jarecki's left arm.
He probably had the beverage alcohol.
See?
Now he's got me saying it.
Doug, a ghost went down on Dan Aykroyd in Ghostbusters. Pretty nice. Thanks, Timmy Tom Tom. See, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in 106 movies.
He has?
Yeah.
Dragnet, The Virgin County Swale. Tom Hanks. He was with Tom Hanks in that. He's had some great co-stars.
106 movies. Boy, that's a nice run.
He was on the set at KMOV a few years ago. Remember that?
Was he? No. Yeah. Doing what?
I don't know. Promoting beverage
doing sports?
Alcohol. I think he was doing sports.
What was he in Behind the Candelabra? Was he the lawyer?
Was he the one bottoming for Michael Douglas?
Was he the lawyer?
Was Matt Damon.
Watching?
I don't know. I didn't see that either.
I can't picture him playing a gay bottom.
That might be a situation.
All right. Spies Like Us is the best Aykroyd movie, Doug, hands down.
Okay, I missed it.
Pretty good.
I've not seen every single movie that's ever come out.
Doug, what about Stripes? Lately.
Stripes I liked.
Was he in Stripes?
I don't believe he was in Stripes, was he?
Was he?
I don't think so.
That's Bill Murray.
I don't know.
And that's...
Harold Ramis. John Larroquette.
John Candy.
Yeah.
And what's the best movie that John Candy and John Larroquette starred in together?
Stripes.
Nope. You know the answer, Plowhawk, don't you? When I say it, you're going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe it's coming Behind the Candelabra.
I like Stripes.
Yeah, but when I say the movie, you'll
okay,
be like...
Oh, okay, what is the best?
You know it, Plowhawk? John Larroquette, John Candy.
I don't think. I don't think I do.
I know Chris Gardner will agree with me. I know that.
Well, what is
Summer
it?
Rental?
Summer
Rental. Oh, yeah, that's Gardner's favorite. Yep.
I'm looking at some of his movies. He's been in some... Chaplin?
Charlie Chaplin.
Tales from the Crypt? That's going way back.
Doug, what about Trading Places? How about that one with the great Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, I saw that one.
And who was in that with him? Dom DeLuise or something?
Don Amici. Don Amici. Dom DeLuise would not have fit that part.
The Great Outdoors was good. The worst was Caddyshack 2 when he tried to get the voice, Lord. The same voice that Bill Murray had. God, he was awful.
Yeah.
Doug, what about The Great Outdoors?
I don't think I saw it.
Old 96er.
It's another Belushi. He was in a lot of movies with Belushi.
Here's Dan Aykroyd having the beverage alcohol. You see that?
Not anymore. It renewed.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, those texts come in. They come in fast and furious.
Okay. He's had a fantastic career. I know a lot of people love him. He just doesn't do it for me.
Favorite Saturday Night Live skit when he played Fred Garvin, male prostitute. Hilarious.
All right.
Best Aykroyd movie is Tommy Boy. See, I think most people think of Chris Farley and then David Spade. They wouldn't think of, I think they probably even think of Brian Dennehy and Bo Derek.
Yes.
But there was Dan Aykroyd.
Well, some people like some things and some people don't like other things.
Rob Lowe played.
The beginning of his comeback.
Yes.
The comeback really became complete in 1999 with West Wing.
What did he do again to have to come back?
Was there a video of him sleeping with an underage girl? Was that what it was?
It seems right.
It like the 1984 presidential convention or something.
How would that have come up at the presidential convention?
I asked Bo Derek about Tommy Boy.
You know Bo Derek?
Where was this? Like at Cafe Napoli?
No. Celebrity postcard, straight to the web.
You interviewed Bo Derek?
Yeah. You'll hear it soon, buddy.
Is a recent thing?
No, but you'll hear part of that interview soon.
You going to go back and listen to it, Doug? I didn't know you were going to do that.
I don't know. I can't tease it. He didn't give me permission to tease. I guess I'm teasing anyway by not saying anything.
How long ago did you talk to Bo Derek?
3 years ago, maybe.
So, Doug, you're going to go back to an interview from 3 years ago?
Well, I guess.
I asked about her comedic talent. She really wasn't, even though 10 was a comedy, she didn't really get funny.
That's because Dudley Moore stole every scene. Yeah. He was a delight, wasn't he?
He was.
I'll tell you what, he'd sit down and have a drink with you.
Oh, yeah.
Beverage alcohol.
Stop saying that.
Telling you, if you pull up the Stern, see if you can find the Stern. It's only like 90 minutes, so just find one.
Just play that, and we can wrap it up here. We can go home.
No, we have emails.
Oh.
Hot Shots email of the day. Salt and Smoke's the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Let me tell you a little tale. You want to hear a tale?
Okay.
All kinds of stuff going on yesterday afternoon, you might imagine. So, I'm in my basement, built by Elysium Restoration and Design, which I am in love with. And I text Tom from Salt and Smoke, and I said, I can't get over to the Del Mar location. And I know you got the new one opening up, but I also know that it's not open yet. And I'm craving that brisket.
And you're not about to go get it yourself.
Got a lot going on, baby. Got a lot going on.
Okay.
I'm craving that brisket. And I said, do you have any other delivery services outside of Postmies? Because Postmies has been a whole thing. And furthermore, it like costs like $20 for them to deliver the food. And Tom gets back to me and he says, oh, hey, Dad. And I like that. I like that he calls me.
He called you Daddy-O?
No,
just dad.
Dad.
All right.
That's cool. I like that.
He's your age, isn't he?
I think I'm a year older.
Okay.
Actually, he said, S-balls, Dad. We only use Postmates. We're a preferred vendor, though, so it's only $3.99. And then he said, let's see, he has to take care of, they have a newborn. Otherwise, he would run the brisket by my house.
Of course he would. Sure he would. At no charge. I'll pay you $10 if I can deliver it for you, Tim.
And I thought, that's about the best service you can get. Yeah. How many other restaurant owners would get a text and say, let me deliver food to you for free?
Vince Bomarino doesn't do that at Tony's? You give him a jingle?
I don't know. Maybe I'll text him.
Okay.
Salt and Smoke's the official brisket on Kelly Morning After, so I had the brisket last night.
And how was it?
I love it.
Yeah.
When there's some of that, what do they call it? The hard edge?
The meat?
Nope. The stuff on the edge.
The bark?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's as flavorful as the day is long.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh,
a good treat.
So, I don't know. If you have Tom's number, maybe he'll deliver it to your house. I know he has a newborn, but still, priority. Speaking of newborns, Townie, you know Townie.
Yeah, I saw that picture. Yeah.
And the white-collar gangster. Mm-hmm. You know what they have? A young tyke.
Yes, they do.
Newborn, hours old.
A daughter.
That's right. Kaylee, I believe, is the name. Am I right on that?
I think that's what I saw, yeah. Congratulations to them.
The white-collar gangster, Doug, is a father.
Well, congratulations, and hopefully this will get him on a better track.
What do you mean by that?
Lead his life a little better now and not be so nasty, so vile. He can stay out of the suspension logule. He's married to her. He and Tawny make a cute couple. She's a fabulous girl. He's got some rough edges.
What do you mean by rough edges? Because
some of the things he writes in are nasty and vile, unnecessary. I hope maybe this child helps him see a better way through life.
They just might have an open relationship in which he gets to be gay.
That could be. I wouldn't know about that.
Well, just based on some of the stuff that he sent in, it seems like that might be.
Seems likely, in fact. We're not sure who the father is, I guess, until we have a DNA test.
It's a serious charge.
Oh, you think these spuds aren't mashed enough, boy? Let's change that, you filthy boy.
Is that some of the wonderful stuff that he's written?
That's Tunnel Stuff. No. Totally different person. Okay. You see, he sends in pictures of himself.
Yeah.
Tunnels does.
Using the screen name Tunnels 12,000.
Okay. Well, everybody's having babies.
Yeah, I mean, at first it was just me, Jeter, and George Clooney.
Yeah.
But now people are like following in my footsteps.
Yeah. Tom at Salt and Smee, didn't he just have one?
That's right. That's right. That's why he couldn't deliver me the brisket.
Right.
And I said, oh, that's all right, but I kind of let him know it wasn't. You know what I mean? Kind of just passive aggressively.
Right. Like,
yeah, you probably should deliver the brisket to me.
Right. No fee.
I know you have a 3-week old, but, you know, hey.
Priorities. Little thing called priorities.
Thank you. Hey, we'll be at Hot Shots, and maybe I'll see if Jay Boyd can deliver some red hot riblet wings over this evening. I don't know. Maybe that, I don't know. Is that out of line to like text owners of restaurants and
say, and demand that they bring you the food? Deliver to your new basement. For no other reason than that you want it, and you want it now.
More or less.
Okay, and you don't want to pay the delivery charge, you just want it delivered to you.
I'm telling you, that Postme is expensive. Doug, if you still hate the Rams, you're in luck. So do we at Hot Shots. So join us all season as we slam the Rams at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. For the 2017 season, come hate watch Dan's team with us, and every time the Rams lose, you win. Hot Shots customers can celebrate each Rams L with a $1.50 Bud Family bottle for an hour following each loss this season, and there will be plenty. Come root against the Rams at Hot Shots and enjoy delicious beer all season long. You cannot beat the combination. Also, try a Blood of Goodell or F. Kroenke shot while you're here for good measure. And if you're looking for a new home team to root for, check out the hotshotsnet.com for a full list of NFL fan clubs at every location. Hot Shots, your home for all the games for over 25 years. So, Doug, if you're looking to hate watch the Rams, who do they have this weekend? Plowak, I feel like you're the only person who has a chance of knowing.
I don't know.
I don't know who they play. Oh. They're 2-1 now, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but I mean, they've beaten them.
They've beaten the Colts and Niners.
Niners, I don't know if I'm buying in on that.
Well, we got a tough matchup here, boys. Noon kickoff.
Cowboys?
The Cowboys in Dallas.
Yeah, they'll lose that one.
Two good friends getting together, Steamer and Jerry Jones.
Right.
What did you think of what the Cowboys did last night?
I just watched a little bit of it at the end. I didn't see much.
Well, I'm not looking for your take on offensive line play. I'm talking about when they knelt down before.
I didn't like it.
You did not like it?
No, I don't like the kneeling. No.
But they knelt before the national anthem, so then they stood arm in arm during the national anthem.
I know.
And you still didn't like the kneeling. Wow.
No, I don't care for the kneeling. I don't care for the protesting. I don't think it's the thing to do.
I don't think
they should do it at all. And then we got the guy on the Steelers has to come out and apologize because he came out and for the national anthem with his hand on his heart, apologizing like some hostage told what to say.
Not the apology, but I think he came out in his own accord and did that. I don't think he put pressure by.
Oh, I'm sure not. Yeah,
he said he was embarrassed when he looked at the picture.
Probably, yeah. Or they probably made him feel so guilty about doing that he said, "I guess I better come out and apologize for standing for the national anthem." What does it come to?
Because I read the story, and the story. This is Villanueva of the Steelers, the gentleman who was standing outside the tunnel. He said the captains of the team, Roethlisberger and Craig Hayward's son, Ironhead's son, is it Cam Hayward?
I think so.
Were aware of what happened. He couldn't see the flag, and he wanted to make sure he could see the flag, even though the team was in the tunnel. And so he walked out there, and then what he thought was the flag wasn't the flag, so he walked further, and then the anthem started up, and then he's like, oh, crap, I'm out here by myself. This looks bad, but it would look even worse if I went back, you know, after being out there. And he said the whole issue was he didn't want to do anything outside of the team. So I thought, now I understand you're saying that you think he was pressured to do it, but I thought he provided an explanation as to exactly what happened.
We have a minute 48 Raw. It looks like he starts out by talking. I didn't know it's not edited or anything, but all I imagine he starts off by explaining the national anthem.
No, all right, hit the lever, Plowsy. Go ahead, hit the lever, Plowsy. Hit the lever now.
I am.
Doug, can you hear it? I hear something in my...
I don't hear anything.
I hear whistles.
I don't hear anything.
It's an ad-lib.
All right, hit the lever one more time, Plowsy. And extremely patriotic. I barely hear it. I just whisper.
Yeah, we'll get another video.
It might be the microphone. Now I can't hear me now.
Now I can. A lot of times it's the volume on the thing you're playing.
No, I checked it.
Okay.
All right, hit the lever, Plowsy.
Well,
let him alone. He's looking for it.
Here, man. Come on.
Okay, now go ahead and hit the lever. You got a lever there in front of you. Why don't you go ahead and hit the toggle?
Gateway Buick GMC is the sponsor of our studios.
There, I wish I had time to take care of my portfolio.
What are you doing tomorrow?
This is the commercial before.
This is why I don't try to find things.
That was the commercial before the video.
No, it wasn't a commercial, though.
Was it
just me? Or Gateway Buick GMC is at I-270.
I don't know if you saw this too, Tim, but right before they knelt, before the anthem, they were getting ready to kneel. Did you see Jones go running after the camera guy?
I did not.
It almost looked to me like he was going to get the camera guy. Make sure you're going to get me, right? You're going to get me. Get back here. That's what it looked like he was doing. He went running after the camera guy who was walking away.
Buck Swope would never miss a shot. I was not. I didn't see that.
I just can't believe it's come to the point where a former military soldier, an Army Ranger, has to apologize for standing for the national anthem.
Can you believe it's come to a point where the president is calling the athletes sons of bitches?
No. That's wrong.
That's consistent. I tip my cap.
Yeah, the world has become a Jerry Springer show.
I do. If he was pressured, and I guess we'll never know. I can't imagine we'll ever know. If he was pressured to apologize, I have a problem with that. I personally have a problem with it. If he felt like, and just maybe I'm wrong. I know nothing about the man. But considering what his previous history was before he was playing in the NFL, my inclination, which may be unfair, but my inclination would be he is a person of honor. And if there's one thing that people who have served in the military, observe, it is the whole as opposed to the individual. And so, therefore, from that standpoint, I could see him, and maybe I'm wrong. Like I said, this isn't an official hot take that I hope gets picked up and goes viral, but that he felt bad that it made it look like he was going out there and doing something on his own when that wasn't his intent. Now, if it's what you say, Doug, which is that he was pressured or you think he was pressured, you're not saying you know, then that would be disappointing.
I do believe we have the sound, if you want to hear it. Yeah, this video looks legit.
Hit the lever from the hostage.
I would say that my personal thoughts about the situation is that regardless of this plan, very few players knew that I was going to the tunnel because I only asked the team leadership. And so because of that, I didn't give them an opportunity to stand with me during the national anthem. That is the very embarrassing part on my end and what transpires, because when everybody sees an image of me standing by myself, everybody thinks that the team and the Steelers are not behind me, and that's absolutely wrong. It's quite the opposite, is they all would have, actually the entire team would have been out there with me. Even the ones that wanted to take a knee would have been there with me had they known these extreme circumstances that at Soldier Field, you know, at the heat of the moment when I got soldiers, wounded veterans texting me that, you know, that I have to be out there, then I think everything would have been put aside from every single one of my teammates, no doubt. So because of that, I've made Coach Tomlin look bad, and that is my fault, and that is my fault only. I've made my teammates look bad, and that is my fault only. And I made the Steelers also look bad, and that is my fault and my fault only. So unwillingly, I've made a mistake. And so, you know, I've talked to my teammates about the situation. Hopefully they understand it. If they don't, I still have to live with it because the nature of this debate is causing a lot of very heated reactions from fans, from players, and it's undeserving to all the players and coaches from this organization.
I would say that he should be listening to those wounded vets and the people he served with, risking his life for the country rather than the crybaby multimillionaire players who don't want him to go stand for the national anthem.
Did you, when you hear that, do you feel like that was something that they said, hey, go out there, we need you to say this? Or
I don't know that anyone would have told him in those exact words, but he was possibly made to feel like he had to make some kind of statement.
Watching the video, I might have changed my mind a little bit just because he doesn't. It kind of looks like he's just following some sort of guidelines, some sort of rule. When I read the article with just the quotes, it seemed like he was more sincere. But when you kind of look at his facial expressions, he probably dealt with a lot of questions throughout the day about it too. So he might have been annoyed, but it didn't look super sincere when he's standing on the podium. Yeah.
He started it off by saying, "This is humbling, so I'll first address the last 48 hours of events and what's transpired. This national anthem sort of ordeal has been out of control, and I think there's a lot of blame on myself, and I want to address it. So Saturday night, as you guys all know, there was a team meeting that was going to determine what we were going to do as a team. Coach Tomlin gave us guidelines that we had to do it as a 100%, whatever it was that we had to do. In other words, everybody kneels, everybody stands, and then what they chose to do, which was stay in the tunnel. There was a disagreement in what we were going to do, and the only course of action was to go inside and remove ourselves from the situation. It was never to disrespect the national anthem. Every single one of my teammates is extremely supportive and extremely patriotic in this locker room, and I cannot only say that for this locker room, but I can say that across the NFL, every single player that I've gone against. After the meeting, based on my unique circumstances, based on the fact that I served in the Army and pretty much that my life is lived through the military, I asked Ben, as in Roethlisberger, if there was a way to define the inside or where it is we were going to stay, and if I could watch the national anthem from the tunnel, and he agreed. He said, the captains will be out there right behind me. So this plan morphed to accommodate this tough moral dilemma that I had in my hands to where the players can be behind me in the tunnel. Ben Roethlisberger said, at 56, make sure you're out there. As in, I think that meant 1256 Eastern, even though it was Central. 1256, make sure you're out there because the national anthem is going to start at 57. I walked out there at 1256. I asked one of the security guards when the national anthem was going to start. He said, in 20 seconds. So I just walked out and I stopped as soon as I saw the flag. As soon as I had a vantage point, that to me was enough. There was a flag that was coming in from one of the previous celebrations. When I turned around to sort of signal to everyone to come so they wouldn't leave me alone, that's when they were essentially unable to exit. At that moment, it was the decision of, do you walk out of the national anthem and join your teammates? I know that would have looked extremely bad. Or as a team, do you start moving halfway through the national anthem? So essentially, what we can get out of this is we butchered our plan to sort of have a response to the national anthem and respect everyone's opinions. I would say that my personal thoughts about the situation is that regardless of the plans, very few players knew that I was going to the tunnel because I only asked the team leadership, as in the captains. And because of that, I did not give them an opportunity to stand with me during the national anthem. That is very embarrassing part of my end and what transpired, because when everybody sees an image of me standing by myself, everybody thinks that the team, the Steelers, are not behind me, and that's absolutely wrong. It's quite the opposite. And then it gets into the soundbite that we played. There was a quote from him in the article I read. Did you read the article on ESPN yesterday, Plowhawk? Is that where you read yours?
Yes.
All right. So you saw the thing where he talked about growing up in Dade County, or I think Oakland, something along those lines.
I believe it was Oakland.
That he can't relate to go. Here it is. So we as a team tried to figure it out, obviously butchered it, but I have learned, because he's against the protest. So here's what he has to say about this. I think I've got to give credit to Coach Munchak, because he's the one that sort of deciphered it all for us. We're not talking about the same thing. That's the thing people need to understand when it comes to the national anthem. And I was one of the first ones who took offense when Colin Kaepernick took a knee. I was one of the first ones who did an interview, and to a certain degree, I never criticized, but I didn't agree with it. People don't understand, but the people who are taking a knee are not saying anything negative about the military, not saying anything negative about the flag. They're just trying to protest the fact that there are some social injustices in America. And for people to stand up for the national anthem, it doesn't mean they don't believe in these racial injustices. They're just trying to do the right thing. So we as a team tried to figure it out and obviously butchered it. But I've learned that I don't know what it's like to be from Dade County. I don't know what it's like to be from Lakeland. I can't tell you that I know what my teammates have gone through. So I'm not going to pretend that I have the righteous sort of voice to tell you that you should stand up for the national anthem. It is protected by our Constitution and by our country. It's a freedom of speech. People felt that based on the comments the president made, that they had to go out and support Colin Kaepernick, and that's completely their right. But it's not something we're trying to do with the Steelers. We're trying to be unified, and unfortunately, I made the team look sort of all over the place and not unified. It was a very unfortunate sort of 48 hours for me. That is Villanueva's explanation.
Yeah, the whole thing is a big mess now. It's a bit, and it's going to get worse. And we saw 100 miles to the west of here in Columbia what happens when you buckle under to some protesters who might not represent the majority of the people. We saw how what the damage that it's done at the University of Missouri, that a couple of people wanted to cause a big firestorm of trouble and got the president fired, got the chancellor fired to resign, the football coach left, the football team jumped in with it. It's destroyed the football team. The football program is a dumpster fire. The university's lost thousands of students to the point where they got 7 empty dorms. Enrollment is dropping like a rock. That's what happens when you kowtow to some people who are protesting. And the similar thing could be happening to the NFL. This could be the first steps in that.
I hear Sarah Sanders yesterday, the press secretary, the White House press secretary, when asked about President Trump's comments Friday night that played a role in the mass protests on Sunday and Monday in the NFL.
Fighting police brutality, fighting racial disparity, racial injustice, you're not taking him at his word. You're saying the focus has long since moved on. But when white supremacists say that their protest is about heritage, not hate, the president does take them at their word. So why is there this disparity about who gets to decide what protest is about?
I think if this is the debate is really for them about police brutality, they should probably protest the officers on the field that are protecting them instead of the American flag.
Sorry, can you just clarify that? Were you saying that, are you encouraging NFL players to protest police?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I was kind of pointing out the hypocrisy of the fact that if the goal is and the message is that of police brutality, which they've stated, then that doesn't seem very appropriate to protest the American flag. I'm not sure how those two things would be combined.
It's the White House press secretary yesterday when I asked about President Trump's comments.
I know one of them, I think the police in Miami, one of them I read were going to stop giving the teams police escorts.
I thought that was Cleveland, and then
maybe
they wound up...
I wish they would. I wish they would stop. Stop getting meeting them at the airport, giving them police escort to the hotel, police escort to the stadium, police escort back to the airport. If you hate the police so much, don't have the police give you an escort. Why should the police have to do that? You get this kind of disrespect from these people, and then give them an escort so that they don't have to wait in any traffic. Heaven forbid we inconvenience them in the least. If you're going to disrespect the police, don't expect them to be there when you want them to do favors for you.
Well, I don't believe that the kneeling is specific to disrespecting the police.
Oh, I think it's got a lot to do with it.
Because there was not mass kneeling before President Trump's comments on Friday. So the mass kneeling on Sunday and then last night was in reaction to the president's comments.
Well, that's kind of, this is where the Kaepernick thing started from, I think.
Well, I understand that, but you saw how many people were kneeling when Colin Kaepernick
was. So you think
this
is just an anti-Trump thing?
No, I don't think it's anti-Trump. I think it's a reaction to what he said when he called them sons of bitches and that they should be fired if they do. And so then it was a reaction of unity from people responding to those comments because people weren't kneeling, minus a handful, before then.
Yeah, it was growing before this, and that's why Trump got involved. It was growing in Cleveland until Jim Brown stepped in and said, you need to knock this off. It had grown in other places too. There weren't mass kneelings, but there were more than just Kaepernick.
Yeah, I don't think Trump got involved because he wanted to see it come to an end. I think he got involved because he wanted to play to a base of people who were there listening to him in Alabama on Friday night.
That's probably true.
So then that was the byproduct, was the mass protests on Sunday and then Monday night. And the Cowboys knelt, the Cardinals stood throughout the whole thing arm in arm. And then we have Thursday night football this weekend. Who is playing on Thursday night?
My pack.
The pack. Oh, Packers.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's in Chicago as well, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not for sure on that. But yeah. I imagine the Packers will not protest. I know Martellus Bennett put his fist up last week, but this was obviously before the Trump fiasco, so I'm not for sure.
Let's see. A bunch of texts are coming up, but we're short on time. We're short on time. It's 9:53 already. Gateway Buick GMC, as I was making reference to, I-270 McDonald Boulevard. Gateway Buick GMC bringing it to you first yet again. Did you know they deliver vehicles online? They deliver right to your home or work. All you have to do is shop, click drive. You can enjoy shopping for your vehicle and leave the hassle to the experts. Shop now at stlouisbuickgmc.com. It's Gateway Buick GMC. It's time for the Hot Shots email of the day. Hey.
Get the labor files in.
Howdy. I'll never forget the year 2000 at AT&T Park. I was standing down the third baseline when Benito Santiago chased a ball into the stands and blew up my mini batting helmet full of sushi. The AT&T folks were cool about it. They gave me a complimentary loaded sushi with extra octopi innards. The Giants sideline reporter Jerry the Spider Monkey Harris interviewed me, and I became known as the Sushi Man. I was even on the local hack news show, Wake Up San Francisco, with Danny Tanner and the lovely Rebecca Donaldson. After I flirted with Rebecca the whole time, some dude named Uncle Jesse chewed me out in the green room. I put Mullet Boy in a headlock and gave him a noogie until he cried like a girl because I messed up his hair. Mm-hmm. I ripped a bigger hole in his jeans and took off with his woman on his own chopper. Don't tangle with the sushi man, pretty boy. Doug, that's from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Odd little email. Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Morn. Oh, hello there. I read on Yelp that this dinner has the finest loaded baked potatoes in town. I'll have two, please. And bring me some asparagus as well. Oh, wow. You think this potato's a bit dry, boy? You think this potato isn't loaded with enough goodies, boy whore? Let's abscond. Absond?
Abscond. Abscond with, like, steal something?
Ooh, like, steal away. Why don't we steal away? Remember that? 78?
I don't know what the year is, but go ahead with the email.
Let's abscond to the men's room, find the hottest gent, and just pump his sour cream dispenser until our spuds erupt with warm
Okay, cream. That's enough.
Think of
it's not a sour cream dispenser.
Tunnels 12,000. You don't know that there's not one in there. And he sent in a this is him. Looks like an older man in a bathtub.
It does. Nice enough gentleman. Tunnels 12,000.
And that's who wrote
suspended.
That in.
He's been suspended.
I always thought he was younger.
Time. His name is going to the Hot Shots leather-bound suspension log you...
Now, I know how Andy Dufresne felt with the sisters because this bunch of losers and their Little League manager beating up the best fans in baseball. Tim, you are not the only one who cares if the Cardinals win or lose. It appears that the millionaires out there on the field don't care either. And the media in this town is more worried about getting another 1,500-calorie order of nachos to some hefty sunglass salesman.
Yeah.
Stop it! Now that the cat has so much time, he needs to get his hairy shoulders down to one Cardinal place and kick down the door to Bowtie's office and ask him what team he is watching when he says that Little League manager can lead us into the future. Does he have compromising pictures of you? Do we need Ray Donovan to take care of this? I mean, we are tied 1-1 and the season is on the line, and who comes in? Oh no is more like it. Who would have thought we would lose that game? How about everybody, including the other eight players on the field when you brought him in? Tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Doug, that's Steve, and he's in Wildwood.
Steve in Wildwood.
Guys, Plops here. Maybe changing the station to a sports and entertainment station isn't such a bad idea. Today was a perfect example. The blue season hasn't officially started yet. We don't have a football team, and the only thing the Cardinals have going for them is a fan who caught a roundhouse to the sternum and spilled his nachos. You guys literally played a 5-minute clip from another more successful sports talk show and then broke down his take. Yesterday, for the 50th time this quarter, you guys talked about a round of golf for a half hour that involved nobody but yourselves. Let me tell you guys how this broadcast sounds with an example. So I'm in fifth grade, and we're playing, I believe, St. Simon's, and it's the semifinals of the South County CYC Championship. I want to say this is maybe 1992. Nick was sick that game, I think. I'm out there, though, right? Like 1 minute into the game, all tied up, and I tap one in. I know, right? Like, I did it. My dad was like, that was awesome. And I'm like, thanks, Dad. Hugs from the fellas, yada, yada, yada. So I don't know. I guess we ended up then playing another game, but against more people you guys would know, and I believe we won. Tim, you've played road games at St. Simon's, right? I like that. Road games at St. Simon's. That's a tough gym.
Right. Well, it's 4 or 5 miles away from St. Gabe's.
You know, if you put the ball in the air out there, it's going to banana right. It never fails, right? But the grass is nice. I mean, greener than the Dickens. A Bermuda fescue blend, I want to say. My mom took pictures. I'll post them to the fan page so you guys can tell me how odd I look.
Oh, he's in fifth grade. Isn't that inappropriate to talk about it?
Seems like it. Seems like it.
Actually, I should probably stop putting the idea of a broadcast that sounds like this out there, or they'll ask me to do a show on the station, and frankly, I haven't the time. Thanks anyway, Doug. That's from Misty Plops.
Misty Plops, Assistant Program Director.
Morning, Tim, Jim, Jug, Doug. Guys, I've got to disagree with you about there being no well-known spot for public coitus in the STL. I'm surprised that you never heard about the Punch Club at the Crestwood Mall Sparrows back in the mid-90s. The move was to ask for some extra marinara for the breadsticks, and when the attendant ran back to the kitchen to fetch you a cup, you'd lay your special lady down on the spread of pizza and flat get after it.
No.
Right there on top of the Supreme and the Hawaiian with a little get ready for this by Two Unlimited thumping over the mall intercom. Double Punch Tuesdays were a real pony, and don't even get me started on the anal, but those are other stories for another day. Love you guys, and war damn the cat. That's from Brother A-Bear.
Brother A-Bear.
It was a brisk 90-degree night in the Grove for two men to be walking around in fishnet skirts as summer began to turn to fall in the loo. The two men sat down for a nice dish of tossed salad at Just John's when one pointed, the more leather-faced of the two men looked sadly down into his drink. His depression stemmed from being turned down by every mall in the St. Louis area to be a Santa Claus this upcoming holiday season on account of the VHS porn tapes that fell out of his man purse during the interview process and just plain being creepy. He had thought he was a shoo-in with the long white hair and glasses. The other man, an FS1 host hopeful, stared back and simply said, "Don't call it a dish. Don't." He then noticed his second helping of tossed salad had been taking too long to arrive when he noticed the waitstaff gathered outside of Manchester. They were watching a portly man known in the area as Nixie doing a striptease to Kelis's hit song Milkshake. Is that 2000?
I don't know the years, Tim.
The two men rushed outside, hoping to convince Nixie into some MMM action for the night. But Nixie said, unless you need help with a home loan from your block, as he was just trying to help out his sponsor. The men went home dejected to a Maryland Heights apartment for stuff nobody needs to know or see. But hey, this is America, so do whatever you want. Doug, it's Carlos Spicy Wiener. There's a big payoff at the end.
Carlos Spicy Wiener, who just went to jail for a while, didn't he?
That's Anthony Wiener.
Anthony Wiener,
but
yeah.
I think they might be related.
I think it's his brother.
Morning, fellas. Exciting interview with the Nacho Man this morning. I'm always interested in getting the perspective of a fan who pays $30 for a tray of food they're willing to lose at the chance of catching a $2.50 baseball that was touched by a big leaguer. I do take issue with the nickname Nacho Man, though. Doug already has had that nickname for years. On Sundays in the fall, I have the fellas over to watch football, and as a treat, I have Doug's spread eagle on my kitchen table smothered in nacho cheese. My favorite part is when the cheese is all but gone, licking Doug clean before putting
it in the dishwasher. Okay, that's enough!
The hipster Tower Grove South. That's my email today, so what you got, little one?
He's not eligible. I'll go with a fellow by the name of Wildwood, Steve in Wildwood.
I'm going to go with Plops. So this goes to the Speaker of the House, the Plowhawk.
See, this is tough.
Well, it's already 10:02,
so we're going with Plops.
Damn, damn it, Lucas!
Email of the day. We got Frank's up next. It's the Lion's Choice famous roast beef. Hand off to Frank Spahn on the Hollywood Casino Price Box for Pollock. Briggy for the Sea Monster. Remember the Kevin for Jimmy the Cat Hayes for Douglas Sullivan Vaughn. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 Pancake.